south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, let's get serious today. Talk about things of great importance to gringos and expats that they really don't much want to talk about or think about. And to kick it off, let's start out with this email from Expat Insider Seminar repeat offender, Jen. She says, "Dear Johnny, this is a subject I don't think I've ever heard you discuss on the show before, and if you have, then please correct me. Namely, wills, healthcare proxy, power of attorney, and beneficiary forms for expats who are incapacitated or deceased." She says, "Johnny, here are the following documents that everyone needs to get, and I would recommend getting them in their country of origin and in the country they're planning to live in. Number one, beneficiary forms. These will take precedence over a will. Anyone getting a bank account, even in Latin America, needs to have a beneficiary form stating who the money will go to if, God forbid, something happens to them. Most banks have these forms and they're free. Be sure to give a copy of the form to whoever you've designated to get the money. With a properly filled out beneficiary form, in case of your demise, the money is distributed immediately rather than in 5 to 6 months after your will is probated. Also, most retirement plans, pension funds, and 401ks have these beneficiary forms too, so fill them out. Make sure yours is up to date too before you leave your country of origin, and make sure the person receiving the money has a copy of it. And don't forget, your heirs will need it in case the pension fund or 401k plan can't locate the previously signed forms. Furthermore, you'll need to update these forms every time you have a life-changing event. For example, you don't want your ex-husband or wife to inherit your 401k because you forgot to update the form once the marriage ended. Remember, these forms take precedent over a will. Speaking of wills, that's number two on the list. The advice is similar to the beneficiary form. Everyone needs one, and your heirs will need a copy of yours. This is especially true if you're living outside of your home country. Make sure you have a will in the country you live in, too. If you don't have a will, your lard-ass malignant government will decide where your money goes and charge your estate a lot of dough to make that decision. Of course, with no will, you'll have no hand in that decision because you're dead. If you don't have a will in the country you're living in, it'll take much longer for your heirs to get possession of the money, items, or real estate, provided there's any left after the government is done deciding where it's supposed to go. Of course, if your goal is to punish your heirs, make them miserable, and create family tension and drama, then do by all means die without a will. Of course, as you know, without a will, family fights over money can go on for years. Lawyers love a big estate without a will, because the longer it drags on, the more they hit the jackpot. Number three, you'll need a healthcare proxy. This is crucial, she says, and she's right. It's a document giving someone the power to make your healthcare decisions if you're unable to do so. Just like the documents previously mentioned, a copy of the healthcare proxy should be given to the person who'll be making your healthcare decisions. Also, if you're going to the hospital for any kind of surgery, make sure the hospital has a copy before you get the surgery. The last thing you want is to have a crucial medical decision delayed because no one can find the proper paperwork. Get a healthcare proxy and make copies. Number four, don't forget to always get a power of attorney. That's another crucial form and extremely important. Who will take care of your finances in case you're in a coma, incapacitated, or are unable to function? Your bills will still have to be paid. And the power of attorney form gives someone the power to do so when you can't. Obviously, the person who has the power of attorney will need a copy of the form because under certain circumstances, it will be asked for, so it'll have to be produced. So then, where do you get all these forms? Well, they're available in the USA, downloadable online at www.mamabearlegalforms.com. That's MAMABEARLEGALFORMS.com. That's mamabearlegalforms.com. Now, of course, the forms you see there pertain to the USA, and you'll need the Latin American forms in Spanish, too. Latin American countries have their own version of the forms, and you'll need to get them for whatever country you're living in. Don't be under the pressure like so many people are that just because you have those forms for the USA filled out in English that they'll pertain to the country you're living in. They may or may not accept them. You never know. Though, of course, as mentioned earlier, if your goal is to make your family and friends miserable, then skip the forms. In that case, the government will make the decision and carve out a nice big chunk for themselves and the lawyers. All right, there you have it. That's Jen's email, and it's a very good one. And I know no one likes to talk about this stuff. It's depressing, sad, and pretty dry, too. But there's more. Now, for my two cents. Now, I do know a couple of gringo expats who had all the right forms filled out up in the States, yet they lived out the last years of their lives in Latin America. They thought since they had all the paperwork done in the States and a lawyer up there holding on to it, they were covered. If I recall, one guy lived in Costa Rica, one in Panama, and one in Colombia. And man, settling the estate was a nightmare because they didn't have any of those forms drawn up with lawyers in the Latin country they died in. So the first thing their family back in the States had to do was to send somebody down, a family member, to try to sort out the mess. And when they contacted their deceased family member's Latino lawyer, he said in order to get those American documents admitted in probate court, first they had to be translated into Spanish and then apostilled up in the States, couriered down and presented to the judge, who would then decide which of those documents were admissible or not. At that point, it's a crapshoot. Big problem, huge headache. That's why I always recommend when you get settled here in Latin America, you put your trusted lawyer on that mission. He'll gather up all those forms and make sure they're properly signed and notarized. By the way, did you know there happens to be a site on the internet where there are hundreds and hundreds of legal documents you can download for both business and personal use, and they're free? Then you could print them out and use them as templates to edit and create your own legal documents. These, of course, are forms in English specifically tailored to the USA. And because those docs are in English, they won't work in Latin America. But man, you should go there. It's an excellent start. You can download templates for writing wills, power of attorney, parental consent, promissory notes, release of liability, affidavits, bills of sale for houses, cars, and boats, rental contracts, construction contracts, the works. So again, as far as putting together the documents spoken about earlier in the show, in English that is, this site's a really good resource for any legal document or form. But what about getting the proper documents in Spanish for the Latin country you're living in? Well, we'll get to that. Now, of course, as Jen mentioned, the other site, MamaBearLegalForms.com, it's a great site for just a few of those forms mentioned. But the following site is much more comprehensive. FreeLegalDocument.com, and this is how you write it out. FreeLegal-Document.com. You should check it out and bookmark it. It's, again, FreeLegal-Document.com. Free-legal-document.com. Oh, and another thing. You know, I always like to give away very useful free stuff when I can. Well, a while back, a lawyer friend of mine up in the States sent me a PDF called The Pocket Lawyer. It's got every contract and legal document template known to man. It's just so complete, you wouldn't believe it. With over 150 legal form templates. The problem is they're random. They're not itemized or cataloged. Let's say you're looking for a particular contract, for example, a partnership agreement. There is no table of contents, so there are no links to get you to the right place in the document. But at least with PDF documents, there's a search box on top. So you have to know what you're looking for, and in order to find what you're looking for, you'll have to use the search box. Otherwise, you'll be scrolling through that thing all day. But believe me, it is just jam-packed and so complete. Just check out the very first document when you open it up. Man, they leave no stone unturned. It's extremely comprehensive. By the way, you could search and search for this particular PDF on the net. You'll probably never find it. A few years back, it was available on the net, but they took it down, probably because it cut into the profits of lots of lawyers. Like my lawyer friend who gave it to me said, smart do-it-yourselfers could make a lot of hay with that PDF. So anyway, if you want a copy of this thing, and it's 450 pages, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll ship it off to you. Then file it away till you need it. Because someday, you surely will. But we're talking about legal documents as regards to the U.S. What about Latin America? Well, Jen's email lays it out pretty well. But what about the situation when an expat or gringo dies in the Latin American country they're living in? Let's talk about that for a minute, because, hey, it's bound to happen, right? When someone dies, there's always a lot of trauma and drama for survivors and heirs, of course. Worse yet, if you're an heir or survivor and do not have the proper documents, you're doubly handicapped if you don't speak Spanish. You're really SOL. Unless you or the deceased have a Latin lawyer who's really clued in. Well, you know, earlier in Jen's email, she said she didn't think I ever spoke about this stuff before, but I have, though I'd say it was at least 5 years ago. You long-time listeners might remember that, but you short-timers, you new listeners who've come on board, and man, let me tell you, new listeners are piling in like crazy. Anyway, today, I'll go through this and even send you a version of a report I put together, combining what Jen said and some important other things you'll need to know regarding the sticky and oft-avoided subject of dying here in Latin America. If you want that little report slash checklist, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. So yes, I do occasionally get emails on the subject from wannabes, gonabes, and gringos and expats living down here, especially from the over 60 crowd, people pushing their twilight years. For example, here's an email from that particular pile. Hey, Johnny, it would be nice someday if you could give me a rough checklist of do's and don'ts and the steps needed, and a heads up on the unavoidable embassy runarounds when it comes to the delicate subject of gringos and expats passing away in Latin America. She says, oh, and this is Kathy writing this. She says, I can imagine if someone dies, the executor of the estate or family member will come down and do embassy pinball, bouncing back and forth with things like death certificates, funeral arrangements, cemetery plots, and or the final disposition of the body, or ashes in an urn, depending. Sometimes, though, and it makes things much more complicated, family members in the States will want the body shipped back home. And all that stuff must happen within a couple of days. It's a whirlwind that most people are never prepared for. And here's a similar email from Janie. She says, Johnny, never have you spoken about kicking the bucket, passing over, burying the farm, you know, dropping dead. I've gotten the impression that expats never die somehow. Could you chat about Plan D in the event of death? All of us really want to know what the best way is to handle or make plans for the Last Supper. And smart people know that's also a time when people are very vulnerable and susceptible to funeral home gouges and scams. At least up here in Minnesota, every year we hear about people spending $20,000 or $30,000 on a funeral, when in reality, if you plan way ahead, you probably could do it for less than a quarter of that. Anyway, Johnny, can you set me straight on how a Plan D goes down in Latin America? Signed, Janie, not ready or willing to croak in the next 50 years anyway. All right, Janie, thanks for that. Plan D, I like it. That said, I've got here in front of me a list of tips from expats who've had their own loved ones croak here in Latin America. And again, if you want a copy of this list, which is kind of turned into a little report, I guess in honor of Janie, we'll call it the Expat Plan D report. Of course, we could call it Plan C for croak. What do you think? Nah, let's stick with Plan D. Again, if you want it, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. So here are the best tips from expats who've been through it all with their own loved ones. Of course, the caveat here is most expats, when they die, have other expats around to pick up the pieces and run with the ball. The thing is, if you're one of those kind of persons who's way off the gringo tourist trail and just hangs with the locals, maybe you're even married or your girlfriend or boyfriend's a local Latino or Latina, then you certainly better have made it clear to somebody very close to you that they must phone up your Latin attorney immediately. Then, of course, if the proper documents are filled out, the will, power attorney and all that, he'll take it from there. Otherwise, you're not only dead, but your family is SOL. Then again, there's nothing more SOL than waking up dead. Yep, wake up dead. You know, when I was in junior high, I was on a bowling team. There was a hillbilly on my league. His name was McIntyre. He used to put funny twists on the English language all the time. He cracked me up. He used to say things like, John, you want some advice? Don't buy food from those carnies at the stock car races. Eat that shit, you could wake up dead. The guy was like a cross between Gomer Pyle and George Bush Jr., only dumber. But where were we? Oh yeah, tips from expats who've watched their friends, relatives, and or spouses embark on a Plan D. Number one, don't assume the U.S. Embassy will help you. Unlike what you might think, the U.S. Embassy is only there for their own benefit and not necessarily for yours. They're there to perpetuate their own jobs, not help you. They may help notify your family, though, if you're traveling through the country and something bad happens. But if you have a legal residency in any particular Latin country and you croak, your family will most likely never get a call. However, they will happily notify Social Security, like in a New York minute. So if the deceased was on Social Security, there will be no more checks or deposits forthcoming. And if you think the U.S. Embassy will help you ship the body back to your hometown in the U.S., that only happens in the movies. Or if you're embassy staff or active military or NSA, FBI, or a dirty tricks clandestine contractor. Number two, do make sure you understand the rules for funerals in the country you're in. For instance, in most Latin countries, you must take care of the deceased's body within 24 hours. You can delay this a bit, but it's fairly common to have the burial and or cremation the same day after passing away. And if you've ever been strolling or driving through Latin America and you come across a funeral in the middle of the road with a casket on a cart, people wailing, saying prayers, toting candles, sometimes hauling huge statues of Mary and Jesus behind the casket, well, what you're seeing is the procession from the church to the cemetery. That's a tradition in Latin America, too. That's how the locals do it. Then there's a couple of days of mourning, and exactly 1 year later, especially if it was an accidental death or someone who died before their time, they'll throw up a tent in the cemetery and have another complete day of partying light. Because, you know, a year later, people aren't all that sad. And in fact, a lot of families, if they can afford it, will hire a mariachi band to play in the cemetery. Oh, and here's something that's strange. You know, mariachi bands are famous throughout Latin America, even in the States, right? Of course, black folks and white-bred gringos up in the States, they don't hire mariachi bands, but anybody who's got any Latin blood in him or her at all, they have a soft spot for mariachi bands, and they're often contracted for birthdays and quinceañeros parties. I'm talking about up in the States. And most gringos up in the States think mariachi bands are a Mexican thing. Well, surely they originated there. But long ago, throughout all of Latin America, the custom of having a mariachi band play at certain fiestas and events, well, that's a given and customary in every Latin country. Even though a couple of centuries ago it was strictly a Mexican thing. Mariachi bands, I don't get it. My personal opinion is they stink. Hey, I've been at countless events where mariachi bands were hired to play. Never once heard a band that was 100% in tune. Not to mention someone, usually a horn player, is always drunk. And even down here in Latin America, they don't come cheap. Again, you get what you pay for, just like this show. But even if you pay big money for a mariachi band, $400 or $500, if you want my opinion, the only difference between a $50 or $500 mariachi band is that the cheaper they are, the more tattered and scruffy their mariachi uniforms. But musically, again, in my opinion, mariachis sound worse than bad karaoke. Now, I know most tourists buy into it because it's part of the vacation in Latin America experience, especially in Mexico. But man, I tell you, even on vacation, once is enough. Hey, but that's just me. I could be wrong. But really, everything's relative, right? I'll take mariachi music any day over my favorite oxymoron, reggaeton music. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see a warning label on every download that says, "The Surgeon General has determined reggaeton causes dementia and brain damage." Of course, we know that's true with rap. Just check out the performers and spectators in rap music videos. Oops, there goes another oxymoron. Sorry about that, but I digress as usual. Back to tip number two, when confronted with an expat friend or loved one who's pulled the trigger on a Plan D. Now, about the quick disposal of bodies, unlike the States, where families traditionally wait 3 to 5 days. But here in the third world, it's all about freshness, or at least it used to be about freshness, because Latin America, as some people know, up to very recent times anyway, had very unreliable electric grids and the power would go out all the time. In other words, not so long ago, refrigeration was a big issue in third world countries. And man, that does not bode well for dead bodies. Of course, that's not a problem now, but disposing of bodies very rapidly in 1 or 2 days is a tradition that was written into Latin law a few hundred years ago. No one's bothered to change it, so they've stuck with that tradition ever since. That means you've got little time to prepare. Then again, who's ever ready for something like that? Now, the good thing is that, like everything else in Latin America, funeral expenses are really cheap. I've seen them so cheap, you think it must be a joke. But the thing is, all funeral homes let you buy the services ahead of time for a huge discount. And it's something most people don't think about much, so they rarely take advantage of it. Though, I've checked out a few funeral offers and pamphlets myself. I've seen packages down here range from $250 to $5,000 or more. Again, like real estate, for funeral homes, it's location, location, location. In a small town or iffy neighborhood, cheap funeral homes. Whereas funeral parlors and upscale gringoized tourist areas, well, just like in the States, hold on to your wallet. Still, a high-end funeral here in Latin America will cost you a quarter of what it might cost you up in the States. So if you're living down here and you or your significant other's getting up in age, it is a good idea to check out those prepaid packages. They take care of everything. All you do is make a phone call and it's done because you will have pre-planned everything beforehand. Now, as far as cremation, lots of gringos and expats go for it. Though Latinos in general, being very Christian, rarely go for that option. But because every Latin town and city has its share of extranjeros, that's foreigners, whether Australian, Chinese, Japanese, gringo, European, whatever, there are enough foreigners down here to make cremation a viable option. Funeral directors are saying cremation is becoming more popular all the time, even with the formerly skeptical locals. Now, you might choose to put your loved one in a local cemetery. And certainly if the dead gringo or gringa has a Latina or Latino other half, the surviving partner will want you buried in a local cemetery. But look out. Just like the healthcare system here in Latin America, they've got public and private cemeteries, and you don't want to be buried in a public cemetery. Not that you'd give a rat's ass if you were the deceased one. It's just that you'll know why if you take a walk through a public cemetery. Because the government runs them, they take care of them like they do the public schools and the public hospitals. Like crap. They're scruffy, dirty, with crooked headstones, some of them even falling over. And since in public cemeteries, no one seems to give a damn. There's trash, plastic bottles and fast food wrappers here and there. And the occasional grouping of ass-crack-pants adolescents just hanging out, smoking cigarettes or weed, as if it was a McDonald's parking lot. But of course, a public cemetery is going to be dirt cheap and the maintenance dirt cheap. That's why most Latinos elect that route. But as for the private cemeteries, completely different. They're gated, guarded, well-manicured, safe as can be. Of course, the plots and monuments are more expensive, and the maintenance fees too, but compared to first-world private cemeteries, well, really, it's a no-brainer. Oh, and this is interesting. Just like up in the States, banks here in Latin America offer cut-rate prepaid funeral plans. And of course, Latinos who buy into those plans do so because they can pay monthly a very tiny fee by direct withdrawal. In fact, I'm looking at a pamphlet right now from a bank called BAC, and the funeral plan costs something like $2.50 a month. Again, once the guy on the plan croaks, it's a turnkey operation. They do everything for you. So it's basically a funeral insurance policy through the bank. Of course, you'll need a bank account there to qualify, but it's done easily enough. But of course, you'll generally need a Latin lawyer to help you open it. He'll be your character reference, or what they call a fiador. All right, you ready for a little shock? I'd say that from 25 to 50% of all the funerals that take place out in the boonies or in the outskirts of big cities take place in a person's home. Yep, just like in the old cowboy movies. Occasionally, down here, people get laid out in the living room of their house. Years ago, the Irish were big on that too. Even laid out people in the local bar. Yep, many poor and lower middle class Latinos still have funerals in the home because it's so much cheaper than the funeral home. Oh, and as mentioned, when I was talking about location, as far as selecting a funeral home, as mentioned previously, wherever you live in Latin America, you have a number of funeral homes to choose from. Well, here's a tip. You can always tell the quality of a funeral home by their hearses and funeral cars. When you see an absolutely pristine gray or black hearse hauling a casket in a funeral procession, it's definitely from a more expensive high-end funeral home. And you'll notice, if you're down here long enough, many a funeral procession will have a scratched, dinged, faded old hearse that Herman Munster wouldn't be seen dead in. Or maybe he would, since he was reanimated, you know. Anyway, just know the more faded, beat up, and scratched the hearse and the funeral procession cars, the more grungy the funeral home. But grungy means cheap, too. Sometimes unbelievably cheap. But as you well know, if there were no plans in place and somebody croaks, even a grungy funeral home will cut you no slack. Best get ready for the gouge. They've got you over a barrel. By the way, you know where that term got you over a barrel comes from? Back in the colonial days, they'd flog a person after they strapped him over a barrel. All right, consider this. If you get a health insurance policy down here in Latin America, they almost always have a death benefit. Now, in the policies I've checked out, it's anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 usually. That's plenty for a funeral down here. So don't forget to check the fine print in your health insurance policy, because if you croak, somebody, whoever you designate, will get that death benefit. Oh, and just one more thing before we move on. It's really a good idea to go around your house and take photos. Photos of your car, your garage, your furniture, etc., and make a list of your valuable possessions. And send that list, maybe updating it every year or two, to a trusted family member. Why? Well, you probably can guess why. I've heard many stories, and I know of a couple of gringo expats myself, who died, one in Panama, one in Costa Rica, and one in Guatemala. They were lone retired gringos living on pensions and Social Security. All three of them unmarried, but with live-in girlfriends. And by the time their family members up in the States came down to sort out their affairs, check out the house or apartment, do an inventory and all that. Well, guess what? There were no items to inventory. And in one particular case, I'll never forget it. I was looking to buy a car from a daughter of a dead gringo military guy. She'd posted it in a local Panama newspaper. Long story short, I went over there to look at it. The daughter, who'd flown in from, I think it was Detroit, to settle her father's affairs. She hadn't seen him in years. Well, when we sat down and started talking about the car, she began to tear up a bit and cry. She said when she'd got down there, the house was completely empty. Not an appliance, not a stick of furniture. And the only reason she said the car hadn't disappeared was because her dad didn't drive for a couple of years. It was sitting in the garage and had four flat tires. Oh, he had a live-in girlfriend, all right, she said, who'd obviously stripped the house, and the girlfriend was now claiming the house as hers by common law marriage, and she'll probably get it. Why? Because no will. Talk about a mess. Worse yet, the dead guy's daughter spoke zero Spanish, and she'd never been to Latin America before. All right, finally comes this email from a single mother. She's one of those ladies who's got a construction do-it-yourself podcast YouTube channel. You know, she shows ladies how to do things like refinish furniture, build closets and picture frames, mount drywall. She sent me a photo and a link. Man, she looks good in that hard hat and leather construction belt. Anyway, she says, Johnny, don't say my name or my YouTube podcast site, but I've decided I've got to get the hell out of Dodge. She says, I say what I feel and I make un-PC comments in my construction YouTubes. Things like when I say I don't want my 10-year-old daughter to grow up to be woke, or be forced to use bathrooms with boys in them, or use pronouns that don't fit. Well, it didn't take long, she said. People started saying horrible things about me on the internet and social media. I even had to turn off my comment section. And YouTube put me on probation twice. She says, I can't even look at my comments anymore. They make me want to cry. The only thing I can do to save my sanity and my daughter's too is to get the hell out of Dodge. Like you say, Johnny, the USA is over. It can't be fixed. The saddest part, Johnny, is I don't know who these people are. The ones that attack me and tell lies. Who are these cowards attacking me on social media just because I say what I feel as a mom? If it was just me, I'd stay here and fight it to the end. But now it's affected my daughter. She said she's embarrassed when the kids at school look me up and see all the horrible things people are saying about me. I'd really like to know, who are they? I'm holding off till your next seminar, John. Can I bring my 10-year-old down too? All right, that came from YouTuber Miss L. And yes, you can bring your daughter down. Lots of people bring their kids. Just shoot me an email. I'll hook you up with Rita, my seminar coordinator, and we'll talk about it. All right, one last thing before we go. I just found out there's this new phenomenon. Well, maybe it's not new. Maybe I'm way behind the times. It's called the lug phenomena, found exclusively with women in college. Do you know what that is? Again, it's lug. The letters L-U-G. You know what it stands for? Lesbian until graduation. Yeah, that's right. It's an actual phenomena. You can look it up. Lug. Lesbian until graduation. So all you moms and dads out there with young girls in college, that's just one more thing to worry about. So let's just chuck that one up as reason 2,476 why you should waste no time in getting the hell out of Dodge. By the way, I couldn't help but ask a couple of young Latina college girls I know here in Latin America if they've ever heard of it. And they both just looked at each other in amazement. They thought it was a bad joke that I'd just made up. And when I told them it was no joke, they still didn't believe it.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.